The views and opinions of the Dr. Kent Show are those of the hosts and guests only. They do not represent the opinions of KFNX staff or management. Dr. Kent holds a PhD, a doctorate, and a doctor of philosophy in psychology with an emphasis in industrial organizational psychology. The advice and expertise presented is generic in nature and draws upon more than two decades of experience in mental health services across a wide variety of settings. The Dr. Kent Show is provided for entertainment and educational purposes only. For diagnosis and treatment, please see your own personal doctor of medicine. For callers, nothing presented implies the establishment of a relationship, professional or otherwise. Dr. Kent is the developer of positive projective psychology.
Welcome to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, PhD.
Welcome to the Dr. Kent Show. Welcome back to me, too. It's been a long time since I've been on the air. And I'd like to sing that song on the road again to on the air, but I don't think I'd want to alienate my audience with my vocals. Okay, it's been a couple of weeks, been preempted by football. I understand that I was on the air last week and didn't know it. Okay, well, fine. That's good. That's fair game. I've got a couple of offers here. If you'd like to give a call, I've got a couple of dance lessons and some passes. I've got six of these. Some envelopes stamped and ready to be addressed for you. But you need to give me a call for these. Now, these are to the Greater Swing Dance Club, Greater Phoenix Swing Dance Club. Meets on Sunday night. I'm a member there. I know you won't get this in time for tomorrow night because these tickets are good for a Sunday night. But they'll get you in free. Usually it's $10 to get in. They'll give you a lesson at 5 o'clock, followed by a lesson at 6 o'clock, and then there's open dance from 7 to 10. If you're a beginner, I urge you to stay to at least 8 o'clock and, you know, get your feet wet for at least an hour there before taking out of it. It's not an easy dance. A lot of great people attend it. If you're female and you'd like a couple of tickets to have somebody go with you, I understand that and respect that. If you want your husband to go with you or your girlfriend, let Norm know that. He's going to take your addresses and record that before we get you on the air shortly. And I just got a couple of questions I want to ask. Or you may have something you want to air yourself, in which case you're welcome to that. Then I also have a couple other freebies to toss out there. One is the ethics of immigration policy, and the other is common sense on mass immigration. These are short booklets. Again, they're stamped with return addresses on them, ready for your address. You just need to call in, request these things, and get on the air here with me shortly now. The KFNX 1100 listener calling line is 602-277-KFNX. What else would it be? That's 277-5369 for local callers. And toll free for those of you out in the boonies, 1-866-536-1100. That's 866-536-1100, whatever. Like to welcome the audience here, especially those who might be listening abroad. I know it's probably nighttime over in the Middle East or in Afghanistan and the theaters of conflict. Hats off to you. Thank you for your service. You know, I apologize. We've done our best here on the home front to protect the country, but, you know, it's sad to say that your vote didn't count again, and that just seems to be the policy of our Pentagon. We live in an age of bureaucratic tyranny, in my opinion, and the Pentagon made sure those votes weren't submitted in a timely fashion, so they weren't counted. It's very sad, but I'll tell you what, I would love for one of you, and Iraq or Afghanistan or floating off the coast of somewhere, Somalia maybe, to give a call in during the show. I'll put you directly on as fast as I can, and it would just throw people back. It would throw folks at home to hear your voices. And the number's here. If you've got a line, you can call us on 602-277-5369 and toll-free, which probably doesn't work from over there, but it's might be open, is 1-866-536-1100. 1100. I took a little bit of time off due to football season and took a quick trip up to Alaska, which I really hadn't planned. I swore I'd never go back home during the winter for one, so I figured I'd surprise my folks and show up in the middle of the cold up there. Now, it's not real cold. It was 15 degrees when I got there, and it warmed up to about 26 degrees. I think I saw 34 degrees one day. Snowed a couple of times, and the weather was really cooperative for me. Now it's down to, 10 degrees or 15 degrees again, and it's pretty cool. I don't like it that cold, and I'm sitting in here in Arizona with a jacket on. Can't wear shorts anymore. I'm thinking about moving south to a place called Arizona. I hear it's warm there. Well, we're broadcasting here from the land of the Secretary-elect of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano. Congratulations to our governor. I got mixed feelings about it, folks. I don't know what your feelings are about that. I did announce in response to an internet blog that I was going to go back to psychological topics, less to political topics. But yet, they do impact us, and they impact us terribly. But I also figured, and I was going to have a guest today, but that I didn't get the communication while I was traveling, back home from Alaska, so my computer went down. Anyway, I'm going to start having some really prominent psychologists on the air for you and for your enjoyment. And you can call in and talk with some of the greatest. And that will probably be next week. I also want to announce that I'm going to start a little thing, a lunch with Dr. Kent. And what I'm offering is, I'd like your company. I tend to have lunch every Friday at a wonderful restaurant in Chandler called Si Señor. It's on Alma School off, it's not Guadalupe, what's the name of that? Well, it's down on Alma School Road, and of course the crossroads. I can see the place, I can see the sign, it just as I go blank. I've been told my voice is nice and clear and I sound calm on the air, but it's actually a little bit of anxiety for me to get on the air. I like doing this. I woke up a little early this morning, 4:30, thinking about what to say, kind of doing a show in my head, thinking about that, and didn't really want to do that. I wanted to sleep, so I did end up getting back to sleep again. My animals are very demanding. I got a cat and a dog, and they missed me while I was gone in Alaska. Well, I miss them, too. They're not leaving me alone much now that I'm back home. And my dog did something amazing today. He's kind of like, for me, they're kind of like antidepressants and mood regulators. The cat is an unusual cat. He comes when I call him, pretty much. It might take him a minute or two to think about it and make it his own idea, but he comes. And he likes to roughhouse in the morning, and he likes to get up at 4 or 4:30, which is a little early for me. And I've been getting him adjusted slowly to getting up at 6 in the morning. But he likes to wake up, and if he sees me moving, it's fair game, and he just headbutts me. I mean, he just gets right up in my face, wants attention. And then shortly after that, he'll get off the bed, and next thing I know is I got a cat attacking my feet. My feet are real sensitive. The cat gets my attention for sure. So we get about to some, I would call it almost roughhousing, but the cat, it's really great. I wish I'd learned when I was younger that cat affection is a little different. They really do get aggressive in that, and they can get carried away. But if I tell this cat to back off with his teeth or claws, he does. And he seems to understand that, and you got to soothe the beast a little bit, quite literally. The dog, on the other hand, thinks he's a cat. He watches the cat. He takes after the cat. He's jealous of the cat. For one, he's not allowed upstairs, and the cat is. And he chases the cat away from me whenever he can. And the fact is, the dog watches the cat and mimics the cat. The cat wants to wrap his paws around me, his arms around me and keep my hand on him. So I pet him and the dog started to do that. And the dog now likes to be rubbed underneath the chin. Now this is a 70-pound mutt, it's kind of big, and he likes to be rubbed on the chest just like the cat. Anyhow, I love them dearly. They take pretty good care of me. The dog, seemed to be pretty tuned into me this morning. And when I wanted to, go back to sleep and stay asleep, he did the strangest things. He started biting on my forearms, you know, little nips, like he was biting fleas on his own body, and he would leave me alone. But that's just Diesel. That's just the little adorable mutt he is. You want to catch me after the break? We're going to take a short one and be back, so feel free to call in. I'll get you on the air right away at 602-277-5369 or 866-536-1100.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show. If you want to call in and be part of the show and take advantage of my wonderfully free offers here, numbers 602-277-KFNX or 866-536-1100. I want to tell you a little bit about dancing and why I think it's so important. I think it's one of the most important activities that a man and a woman can do together. Why? You learn a lot about yourself, and you learn a lot about your partner, and you learn about team building, because that's what relationships are. Ultimately, it's team building, and we've lost that ability to build the team. In this country, the family, pairing off, marrying, has been attacked so much, it's just not fair. So what's nice about dancing is that most women learn that they're too busy following and helping the man, either too busy leading and helping the man, than they are able to follow. And most men realize they're kind of, well, have difficulty making up their minds and deciding what they're going to do and initiating, because we're busy accommodating the partners. It's taught me a lot. I really recommend you take up the hobby. One good reason is the exercise aspect. Now, you may think West Coast Swing is an old dance. Believe me, it's a dance that lives and breathes. It changes with the times and the styles. I mean, it is a hot dance. It's probably the most expressive dance there is. It'll accommodate the widest range of emotion. This is a West Coast Swing dance community here. Sure, there's country dancing, but, you know, I go to Grand Central Station and we dance West Coast Swing to the country songs, to just about anything. I mean, I've seen people West Coast Swing dance to some things that you just would not believe, and I've seen some very beautiful dances. Now, we also have got an amazing club in town, and it's a really, really hot one. Good to join. We put on one of the largest dance conferences in the world in West Coast Swing. 1,200 dancers in the room, a good sound system, a great floor, good instructors. I mean, we have the prime, the best of the dancers. And folks like to come here and dance across the 4th of July weekend. And frankly, it's one of the best times you could ever have would be to attend that and get a room at the hotel and not have to travel out and about. Anyhow, I've got a half a dozen tickets to that. Give a call in if you'd like to be part of the show. I want to ask you just a couple of questions, though. And I want to ask you to choose between one of two things just on the air. I want to take a little survey. And that is bread or circus, okay? So it's bread or circus. Just tell me, bread or circus. That's all I want to hear. That's enough to qualify you for this. Now, you want to talk a little longer, ask me questions or air something, that would be great, too. Again, 602-277-KFNX. I know I've gotten a lot of feedback in which people say they're too intrigued and waiting to hear what I'm going to say next to call in. And frankly, those moments feel pretty lonely, like now. Also, those lunches are free, except you got to pay for your own meal. I mean, there's no free lunch involved. But you can sit at the table with me there. There's a Chili Randall special at C. Senor's. I think after tax, it's $8.04 out the door with water for a beverage. The red sauce is their signature sauce, is to die for. They have some salsas there. It's a really good restaurant. It's a family-run restaurant. They have another branch over in a place in Texas, just the beginning of Texas. I get a little stressed trying to remember those names, so they slip my mind at this point. You can also reach me directly at 480-861-9221. If you'd like to sponsor the show or advertise on this show or get started with your own show, or if you think advertising on another show might be better for your product, I'd still be glad to help you with that. 480-861-9221. I've also been asked about an internet presence, and I have to admit I've done things kind of backwards. I've learned as I've gone. This is a pro bono, a free service I offer the community. I'm not supported in this. I don't get a salary from this. I had a pretty bad blowout. Medically, I got compromised, and as a result, I was unable to work, and it was such a disorganized time that I couldn't defend my job or my license very well. And the fact is that it took forever to get the disability awarded, so I was given pretty much lump sum stuff, and as a result, I put $10,000 towards seed money to get this started. And I found out I should have had an internet site, a website up, probably 6 months before I even, you know, got on the air, but I didn't do that. This next week, I'm going to be looking into starting a site with blogs. I don't think I'm going to be making my shows available on that just yet. I've got to look into the expense of the whole matter and make it affordable. I wouldn't mind a sponsor or a benefactor. That would be great. 480-861-9221. That's my line. And our line here is 602-277-KFNX. Or toll free 866-536-1100. Now, my back's to the monitor. Thanks, Norm. I'm sorry about that. Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. Carolyn from Alaska. All right. Come on. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm fine. How about you?
Oh, I'm very well, dear. I just wanted to tell you that Dad and I enjoyed your visit here at home, and to let you know that I'm able to stream your program on my new computer that you helped us pick out, and to tell you that it's a joy to hear your voice.
I got a question for you.
Uh-oh, you don't want any money, do you?
No. No, not after TSA did a little tax job on me on my last trip. But tell me something. How's my language today, Mom?
Yes, you have, and I'm very proud of you. So you continue to be gentlemanly and try to watch your language as we taught you when you were younger.
Well, you know, the words I said were permissible and allowable, but I understand, and I was wondering whether or not you were listening, because if you weren't listening, I was going to cut loose a little bit more.
Oh, well, I was surprised when I tried the computer, and I saw that we had volume, so I thought, I'm going to see if I can pick you up, and I did, which I'm glad about.
Folks, in case you're wondering, this is my mother from Alaska.
Oh, yeah, this is John's mother.
Now, in case you're wondering, she outranks me, okay? I had my 56th birthday last month, but she's still pulse rank on me.
And of course, I'm older than you are. Oh. I just wanted to tell you how much Dad
at 29, you're older than I am.
And we wish you well in both endeavors and hope you get some good sponsors. And I think people will become more aware of you as time goes on. And I won't take up any more of your time. I'll let you go right back to what you were doing. I just wanted to let you know how much we appreciated your visit and how much we appreciate you and what you're doing for your fellow man.
Well, I love you, Mom.
I love you, too. So doesn't Dad.
Okay.
The dog and the cat. Our dog and cat. Take good care now.
Miss y'all.
Bye. Miss you, too. Love, dear.
All right. Thanks, Mom. You know, I got a little story to tell you. I was working in Central Unit, the Florence Penitentiary, inside the walls, in case you're wondering. That's the oldest part of the penitentiary, the oldest facility that's around in the state. It was moved originally from, the old prison. Probably about 1910, 1920 it was built. And I was in the inmate store one day talking to the officer, and, you know, we all have to wear ID name badges, and she didn't look at mine. And she mentioned Dr. Kent. I said, oh, what about Dr. Kent? And she told me the inmates hate him. What? They can't stand him. What? They hate him. And I said, oh, really? Well, tell me about Dr. Kent. I egged her on a little bit. Now, there's a half a dozen inmates in the store. Some are trying to wait on me, and they all know who I am, and they're all ears. I mean, they're listening. you know, and these guys are well controlled. They're not showing that they know who I am to anybody. They're not laughing. They're doing a pretty good job. So I asked her, what was it? And she says, well, the inmates say they can't get anything past him. Oh, really? Well, they say that nothing gets past him. They can't get away with anything. And he catches everything. And what else did they say? Oh, they said I wasn't afraid of anything, and I was the most dangerous man in Century Unit. Now, if I had effects, I'd put some applause in or some laughter right behind that, because, you know, I'm in a maximum security unit with about 1,100 men. This is level 5. These are murderers, rapists. These are pretty bad guys. But here I've got the reputation of being the most dangerous man in the unit. Well, the fact is that I had to laugh at that point. And I told the officer, you know, I'm Dr. Kent. And the officer just kept talking about Dr. Kent, and I had to repeat it again. I'm Dr. Kent. And she stopped for a moment, then kept on talking. And finally says, oh, I'm Dr. Kent. And she says, oh, and looked at my name tag and ID, and then looked me in the face. And, you know, but the fact is that I do have some fears. I fear my God. And I try to respect authority, but also fear my mom. I love my folks dearly. I was glad to visit them. And I am my mama's boy. I don't care what anybody says. I call up north and talk as often as I can with them. And I'll continue to do that. Now, I'm going to take a break here in a little bit. I want to give you the numbers. 602-277-KFNX or 1-866-536-1100. I've got about a half a dozen of these dance lessons and entrance tickets to the Sunday night dance, the West Coast Swing Club, and a couple of brochures on common sense and the ethics of migration, mass migration. You know, I think what we're going to get into in the next section is going to be pretty interesting. So you better call your friends and email them, because this is not going to be repeated, and you're only going to hear it on the Dr. Kent Show. In case you're wondering, I think what I want to tell you is about the board meetings I went to this week, and my mom's listening, so I can't use that particular word right now. Well, let's just say I kick a lot of derriere, okay? I really kick a lot of butt, but mostly I kick my own butt. All right, catch you on the backside of this one.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show. I should have kept track of some of those commercials. I wanted to segue into some of the stuff on that. Now, Stacey Keach has got quite a voice, but I remember he got busted with cocaine in London. Oh, Heathrow Airport quite a while back. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever abuse cocaine, you want some colostrum. Why? Cocaine seals up the pituitary gland and hardens the son of a gun. Okay, Mom, I did pretty good with that one. Now, what colostrum does is it softens up, I believe, the pituitary gland again. So you do want to get some of that. Now, when it comes down to the hydrogen technology, that stuff does work. They're trying to actually get that technology to the point where they put it on every new vehicle coming out. So that is going to clean things up. That's a good thing. Now, there was one other commercial in there that I really wanted to touch on because the products are pretty doggone good. But that's it from my memory. I've been under a lot of stress, a lot of fire the last whole half a dozen years, most of it coming from my former employment, DOC. This is kind of the high point of my week. I get out of the house. I do something fun. I get to talk shop. I get to use the old terms. And I really enjoy that quite a bit. This last week, I went to a couple of hearings, and I got my butt kicked in both of them. Now, I wasn't on trial this time. Other people were. But I had an interest in each one of those two hearings, and everything was dismissed. Now, the first one was a little bit emotional for me. I found myself getting angry, and I left the room, and the individual in question was sitting in the outer room. Excuse me, folks. I get a little bit tense when I talk about this. And he's sitting by the door in the chair as I leave. Looks, and he's got the funniest look. I mean, he looks like a little boy. His eyes were dilated. And he's busy suppressing his laughter because I guess he already knew what the outcome was, or maybe he overheard it. We could actually hear what was going on during executive session on the other side of that door. So he might have heard what was going on. But I think he knew what was coming. And he was laughing. He was laughing and trying not to, you know, to laugh out loud. I didn't say a word to him. I didn't gesture. I mean, I'm sure he could tell that I wasn't happy, but there was nothing left to be said. He won. I lost. It's not on me. It's on him and on them. Okay, c'est la vie. I can move on. But what I really wanted to tell you about was a physician, a fellow named Dr. Tennant, and I got to witness two oral examinations before the Arizona Board of Homeopathic and Integrated Medical Examiners. And Dr. Tennant's presentation, now this is probably, I've watched four of them in a previous meeting of theirs, and those were fine, and I've watched some others before that, but Tennant was the last one I watched, and I believe they're going to stop doing the oral examinations, but folks, I got to tell you, this Dr. Tennant was a real gem. I mean, he just blew the socks off everybody in that room. And he's in Texas. He's not planning on moving to Arizona. He has the Tennant Institute out of Irving, Texas, and he's invented some electrical device. I wish I could use the proper terms respectfully. It's something that I can't afford, and I don't have a license to use that on anyone anyway. And if my board ever found out I was using this on somebody, they'd get really upset. But this fellow sat there and was... He didn't play the game. He just shot straight. He described his own history and how he had to take care of himself and how he discovered how electricity was involved in all this. Now, I know that sounds a little weird, but believe me, to the board, and probably the brightest member of the board had to query him. And her questions were right on. She asked some important questions, but he had to break this down for all of them. And in the course of his presentation, he covered the medical literature like you wouldn't believe. This guy was a walking encyclopedia. He explained about the myths behind cholesterol and heart attacks and the literature and why the mistakes were made. He covered so much. Even in one simple phrase, he covered how, you know, how acupuncture worked, how it was activated pretty well. And he compared his device to TEMS and described the difference. In case you're wondering, that's... Oh, I used to know what those acronyms meant, but it is an electrostimulation, and I'm sorry. I get a little bit tense, and I just can't think of the right words. I could have said it an hour ago. I know I said it an hour ago in a conversation with somebody, but Dr. Tennant was really quite good, and he was giving a presentation Thursday night. I went to that, met a couple folks there, and I met somebody who I've invited to be on my show, and the reason I want you to hear him is because I want you to know the contributors of hormones and the problems with hormones. His practice is in natural hormone balance and, I guess, sports medicine, a very interesting practice. And I learned some things there that were just outstanding. Dr. Tennant spoke. He was planning on just talking for 2.5 hours, but we went to almost 3 hours. He didn't cover all of the slides, and I don't think any of us got up except me, just because I wanted to get back there and pick up a book before they were gone. I didn't want to miss out on this one book that was available, and also I wanted to stretch. Just incredible. I'd like to have him on the show. I've already made a call. I've talked with his son, Scott. I don't know how to integrate that into my show, but there's got to be a way. And the way I'm thinking of working that and looking at that is based upon Descartes' dualism. But I don't have time to cover that in this show. I left that that hearing kind of miffed, kind of upset, and I headed up the road, and I didn't go in the direction that was really best for me to go in. But I found myself down at Leslie Bolin Plaza, and I decide, well, I'll stop in and take another look at our 9/11 memorial. And I would like to say pay my respects, but the memorial has mystified us and kind of dumbfounded us. And we wonder what it is and what it's been. And I've got to tell you, folks, that the artwork that is commissioned today is very, very important. There's a lot of messages there, but you have to be able to read it to understand it. And my first time down there, before they changed, but they deleted four of the nonsensical sayings from it, and they changed the entire ring from what I can tell, but it's still up in the air at an angle, and I looked at it from the distance this time, and when I saw it from the distance, I understood what it stood for. I understood what's represented there. It is not a symbol that we should take lightly, folks. I might have mentioned before about our governor knowing the inside scoop on 9/11, knowing the details, the stuff that the government didn't share with us. And the reason I mentioned that is because the artwork depicts that clearly. It shows exactly what's going on right now in this planet, in this country. And I'm going to tell you, it's kind of scary. Now, I have given an invitation to interview another gentleman on the show. His name is Alex Jones. I've listened to him. Some of the stuff, quite frankly, has sounded off the wall to me. I'm sure it does to most of us, most of you. But the fact is that I'd like Mr. Jones to come on the air because I think he knows more about the inscriptions that this artwork focuses on than probably any other man alive today. I know a little bit about those things. But if you stand from the Capitol building and look south, you will see this disc gleaming in the sun. And what this disc represents is a sickle in motion in the air. Nice, shiny blur of silver being cut by the head of the sickle. Okay? And it's at an angle, of course, because the reaper who is harvesting crops swings the sickle at an angle. And, of course, the blade touches the ground. Well, not the ground, but, you know, the lower part of the stalk of the plant or below the head of whatever it is they're harvesting. And it cuts off the wheat. And that is what that symbol is. Now, that is an interpretation. That is an opinion. I reserve the right to have a different opinion or to have multiple opinions at the same time. And we're going to get into flexibility and flexible thinking on this show when we have time. The fact is that it is a symbol of harvest. And I really want to unlock that a little bit further in the next segment because some of you might just be astounded by that also. That's going to come up in a little bit. I went to another hearing on Friday, walked in. The board was already going to dismiss the charges. I'm not going to go into the details. The individual involved is a private person. I'm not going to give any details on that out of respect. And it's a done deal. It's over. Okay. But the board wanted to dismiss the charges beforehand. But the problem I had with that is I wasn't offered the opportunity to speak, and I did get to speak. I was cut rather short. And the fact is that this individual is doing sex offender treatment under the license, under a substance abuse license, and they couldn't understand how that was practicing beyond the realm of this individual's competencies. I thought it was, and it was pretty apparent, but, you know, I realized that folks have locked arms to protect each other and protect our government and to protect our governor. So I'm going to catch you on the backside of this. You want to call in the next segment, last segment, 602-277-5369. Still got some dance lessons here. You haven't taken me up on it yet.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome back to Dr. Kent's show. If you want to call in during this last segment, 602-277-5369 or toll free 1-866-536-1100. Got some free dance lessons here, an entrance to the Sunday night dance at the Phoenix West Coast Swing Club. I'm doing that on my own. And I've also got a couple of pamphlets for you, one on mass immigration. Actually, two on mass immigration and immigration policy. I have one of those each. I can put those in the mail to you right away. Just give a call here. Norm will take your address and stuff. I got a couple questions, though, for you, and what I want you to do is just tell me, bread or circus? And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. It's a little bit of an informal projective contest, okay? So bread or circus, you know, we all hear about, well, you listen to talk radio all the time, and what I'm trying to do is just what comes to your mind, bread or circus, and just let me know that if you didn't mind. Got a call coming in right now. The thing is that what I wanted to do, I'm going to change the subject. I really miss practicing as a psychologist. You see, in my struggles to help other folks, there was a lot of payoff. And it wasn't in terms of salary. It was in terms of my own growth and my own healing. And I stumbled upon some stuff that was just magnificent. I mean, just great. For one, I could actually treat schizophrenias, mood disorders, bipolar disorders, and personality disorders behaviorally. And not only that, I could actually get healing, absolute cures on these things, not just management like we do with medications. And I know the catechism today is we treat it with a pill, and you'll be on medications for the rest of your life. Oh, boy. Betty from Scottsdale, welcome to the show. Howdy.
Hi. You know, since you're a psychologist and discussing medicine here.
I'm going to stop you right there. I actually have my license right now is medically inactive, and I'm not practicing psychology. I just want to make that clear.
Oh, okay. I don't think that matters about my question, really.
Sure, Betty.
I was hoping you'd address serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Sure, I can do that, but...
And the possible abuse of them.
Let's talk about this just a little bit, because, you know, there was a time in the country in which, I remember being at a party, and I mentioned something about Prozac, the first SSRI, and all of a sudden the party went dead. I mean, it went quiet. Everybody... Listen to me, and I was in an internship at the time. I got real wide-eyed because I realized, oh, my God, I got to be careful about what I say. And Betty, the reason was because 11% of the country was on Prozac.
I know that's what I'm scared about.
Well, I can tell you this. The reason SSRIs came about was to replace a specific class of antidepressants that the pharmaceutical industry realized and had to admit were addicting. And if they hadn't come along, the tricyclics would have, I think it was tricyclics. I could be wrong about that. No, not tricyclics. I used to know this stuff in detail, Betty, but the previous class of antidepressants were really addicting, and the SSRIs came along, and they were claimed to be not addicting.
Uh-huh.
But guess what?
Uh-huh.
Guess what? They are.
Yes, I believe that to be true. As a matter of fact, I know a teenager that has been taking them for like 3 years, and his doctor keeps switching him to another one. We'll try this one. We'll try that one.
Okay, now I'm going to...
And I think that that kids are taking these and partying with them.
I don't know about partying with them. And
but if you take more than your dosage, I mean, I don't know how it works. I've never taken it.
No. What I can tell you is this. What we found clinically is that people would take the medicines, and the old school of psychiatry, which I endorse and somewhat embrace, said, well, we'll do a trial period of antidepressant medications for no less
than... Instead of counseling?
Well, we'd do it for no less than 6 months or more than a year, but this was supposed to occur after counseling had failed.
Yeah.
And here today, we don't do a trial period. We go, as a matter of fact, people in my profession are required to refer you to the doctor if you're depressed to rule out a medical cause. And what's going to happen from that? Well, you're going to get on an SSRI today.
It's so frightening. Is the world addicted to these drugs?
Well, the thing is that 3 years, I wanted to focus on this young fellow a little bit for you at the distance. 3 years is the breaking point. What we found is that people would take the Prozac for 3 years, and they would go off. They wouldn't do therapy. The idea was, we'll boost you a little bit with the antidepressants so you can do therapy and accomplish something, and then we can get you off the medication. They changed their tune. You know, I mean, they're getting $140 a month off their victim. And,
really?
Yeah, that's just for a starting dose back then. Of course, if a person needed two capsules a day, I think there are 15 or 30 milligram capsules. If you needed two, that was $280 a month. So Here's the deal.
I had no idea of the cost.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the best book for this is probably a book written by Cohen and, Bragan. I think it's Cohen.
Is it called Prozac?
No, it's called Your Drug May Be Your Problem. And it describes how to withdraw successfully from the medications. But here's the problem. At the end of 3 years, people would come back and say, hey, I feel the same. And what would happen is that their body got used to the Prozac. They hadn't made any advances. And so they were depressed just like before.
Exactly. More depressed.
Well, yeah. And here's the deal. What happens with Prozac is that it actually, I don't want to focus so much on Prozac. I don't need a lawsuit from Eli Lilly.
Well, the thing is, aren't they all kind of the same drug, though?
Well,
the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, aren't they? I guess that's what they're called.
Betty, I got a question for you. You want some dance tickets?
Well, you know what? Yeah, I'd love to have some dance tickets, but Mesa's a bit far from Scottsdale.
Actually, this is downtown in Phoenix, down at, it's got the address on the back here. It's at, 4853 East Thomas. It's near 48th and Thomas at the VFW
Post. Oh, that's not so far. Yeah, okay.
Well, you just hold on. Sure. I'm glad. You want two of them, by the way?
Sure.
Okay, you can take a friend of that. I'm not going to be there this Sunday. I'll be there the following Sunday. I'm an ambassador typically, so I try to help jumpstart
beginners.
Well, it
sounds kind of fun, actually.
Well, it is a lot of fun. Now, the drug companies make $100 or $200 million. It's either $100 million, or I think it's $200 million a day in profits off this one class of drugs.
That's what is so astounding, and that so many people are taking these drugs. It's unbelievable.
My opinion, these things result. Now that we're being told, you have a chemical imbalance, we're going to fix your chemical imbalance. My opinion, these things cause permanent chemical imbalances. And a lot of people can't function without them from what I can see. Now, I don't want to name specific drugs.
Sure.
But, I met one young woman at a health food store, and she told me she was having a lot of trouble quitting her drug. She went into some incredible withdrawal things. Now, it's not going to be called withdrawal by the people in the profession. They're going to be called discontinuation effects.
Right.
That's the professional term. I met another woman who was a little bit older, was taking Prozac for a while. She decided to hire a physical trainer and do some nutritional stuff and slowly withdraw from it. She got lucky. She had like mild like flu-like symptoms.
Well, that's interesting.
And she was able to get off it. So the problem is, what happens is that, first of all, 95% of the serotonin isn't even in the brain. It's in the gut.
What do you mean the gut?
There's an enteric nervous system, which is suppressed in the literature today. It's in the intestinal tract. In other words, if part of the nerves are severed, your intestinal tract nervous system can function on its own, and 95% of serotonin is in the intestinal area, the gut.
Wow.
Not in the brain.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Now the thing is that taking an SSRI, the body stops. It doesn't need the, I think it's the receptors that, and so it starts pruning them away because it says, well, I've got plenty of SSRI going here. I don't need this receptor. I can't remember if it's a receptor or which part it is. But anyway, it prunes off part of the neuron to balance itself out. But when those things go away, you can't grow those back so easily, and you're stuck using the drug.
That's permanent damage, yeah.
It is permanent. I haven't read that book in quite a while. Now, I'm going to put a website up, and I'm going to be reviewing books and providing links to that so people can buy books. And believe me, there's going to be a lot of books on that website.
Good, because, I'm very, very concerned about this particular drug. I think it's frightening that.
But the thing is, it's worse in some ways than the previous drugs, the previous antidepressants, because it's a little bit more global and systemic. So the damage is greater. The biggest advantage is that you can't overdose so easily on these things.
How long does it take to withdraw from?
What's that?
How long does it take? I mean, if one was taking it for 3 solid years, and a combination of different kinds, how long would it take?
It's going to be a rough one, and I wouldn't recommend anybody quit it any faster than what they can. I'd say If you read that book, it says cut back on the dosage, maybe cut it in half, then cut it in thirds, or else maybe take it 2 days in a row, skip the third day, then do it every other day. In other words, it's a slow weaning off period, and there's no rush. There's no rush. Take your time getting off this stuff. Don't be nice to yourself. You know, be kind to yourself if you're trying to quit these things.
Huh.
Betty, we're going to wind the show up here.
Well, thank you for the information.
Stand in line here and let Norm get your information for me. All right. Now, I do miss practicing as a psychologist, and I did want to let you know that, you know, I have stumbled upon how to treat these really severe disorders. And, Carlos is joining me here again. Most welcome friend. Carlos, if you're in my audience, I believe you're in the valley at this point in time. I mean, it's got to be a nice place to be in the wintertime. But I'd love to have you on my show. I understand you've got a book, and love this song. These old licks with that old P90 coil pickup guitar of yours were just inspiring. What I'm going to tell you is that behavior changes DNA. And I'll tell you and explain that, but that's suppressed knowledge. I've learned these things and by mistake, honestly. I bought into the common catechism for years, but my own board is not happy with me, and I'd like to be able to practice and share these things with you.